coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Also welcome to our good buddies along Radio Alabama, WYEA 106.5 in Sylacauga and Talladega County, and The Lake 105.1 covering the river region, Montgomery, Prattville, Lake Martin, and all areas in that area, especially Alexander City. We're going to talk a little bit about Alexander City today. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you 52 weeks out of the year on the Prep Sports Report.
And Mark Lester, how you doing, pal?
I am doing fantastic. Only way I'd be doing better today is if I woke up on Lake Martin.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, it just doesn't happen all the time. So.
It doesn't always happen. We want to say happy Father's Day weekend to all the dads out there. And talk a little bit about the dads today. And really, today, something we started a long time ago, years and years ago. And this was something, funny story about this. We're in the studios at over across the road at WNSP where we started Prep Sports Report, heck, almost 18 years ago come August. And Kenny Stabler used to sneak into the room all the time and sit in with us and really just never said a whole lot, just sat in and we'd talk in between. And he said, you know, Rick, you ought to do something to honor dads on Father's Day. And he said, just let callers call in and talk about the memories with their dad. Well, that's since that time, and that was really Kenny's idea. And since that time are some of these national sports shows and Mark Packer, who's the son of Billy Packer, does that every year. And I got a chance to listen to that a little bit yesterday. And Mark does such a great job with that. But that's something that we did a long time ago on NSP. And I want to give you that opportunity today. If you have any stories you want to share about your dad, just because it's Father's Day, as it relates to athletics, academics, anything that you'd love to share, we'd love to hear that from you. And it's 251-343-0106. I know that Mark and Corey may have some stories. I certainly have some stories that I could share with about my dad. But I won't be ball hoggish and do that. But I miss my dad every day. Lost him in 1989. There's not a day goes by that I don't think of a lesson that he taught me or some journeys that we took together. And so I know I miss him every day. I'm a proud, proud son of a United States Marine, and I miss him every day. So with that, we got a lot of things going on in high school sports, but you do feel free to either text us or call us at 251-343-0106. And from all over the Southeast, we got people listening to us in the heart of Manhattan, in Columbia, South Carolina, in Dallas, Texas, and as far northeast as Boston, Massachusetts as well. So if you have a chance, text us or give us a call at 251-343-0106. Guys, as we're moving into this, I know that I've seen a lot of basketball buses as I'm traveling back and forth going west. I see a lot of high school basketball teams that are having play dates. And I know over at UMS, I know that our basketball teams have been going to Birmingham and have been over to Biloxi and those areas. So I know that there's a lot of traveling on the road. I think we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the our communication lines and see who we got here. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Tom from Sylacauga.
Good.
Listening on 106.5.
Good. Glad to have you, man.
I wanted to throw a shout out because he said he wasn't going to be ball hoggish and talk about his dad, so I'll do it for him. Okay. Buttercup Cleveland was one of the all-time favorites. There wasn't a kid anywhere around who didn't think of him as an extra dad. He was always smiling, always happy, and always supportive of his son and all the kids, especially the athletes around the area. So big shout out to Buttercup.
Thank you so much for that. I'm telling you what, Big Rick is a little choked up, and we appreciate that. That's what this show is about, and we appreciate you taking time out to tell us about Buttercup, and appreciate you sharing with us for a few minutes.
I'm not
morning.
Even sure if too many people know what his real name was, because everybody just called him Buttercup.
That's true. Thank you so much for
right.
that. Thank
Love you
a bunch.
Rick.
I appreciate
right.
that.
Man, that's awesome,
hey,
buddy.
Yeah,
I tell you what, you know, that's what tells us, you know, about our dads when we get a call like that from somebody I don't even know who that was. It called
you.
I don't know who it was.
No, I don't either.
And just made a comment about the kind of person he is, and that's what Father's Day is about. And so that's good stuff right there. Good stuff.
Well, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much coming from Sylacauga, and that's a neat thing, and that means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to my sister. I can tell you that. That's special. You know, guys, I was noticing something the other day. Chipper Jones is one of my favorite baseball players, and I'm sure that both of y'all probably saw where Tanner Allen, who is now the starting first baseman for the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Of course, they're going to be playing in the SEC tournament. In the College World Series. I'm still a little choked up.
Isn't that tomorrow?
College World Series starts today. They've played two games today and then two games tomorrow. Of course, Tanner, the resemblance that he has to Chipper Jones is amazing. It really is. So there's a lot of stuff going on Twitter about those two. But it's good to see a young man like Tanner Allen get the recognition he's gotten. Such a fine, fine young man. Mark, you had the chance to be around him a while, and we were all blessed to spend some time with him. But he's really done well at Mississippi State, and we're excited and hope that he does well in the College World Series. But you want to check out there's some articles online and some tweets about Chipper and Tanner, and they've had some conversation back and forth. But Corey, before the phone call, we were talking a little bit about the basketball. Kind of bring us up to date on what's going on with high school basketball right now.
Just play dates galore. It's an opportunity for, again, these high school basketball coaches to have an opportunity to learn their new team. And Saraland has had play dates. Multiple schools have had play dates. And the great thing about it is it'll start early in the morning and go until late in the afternoon. And it's both boys and girls. Charlie Shipp's done a great job over at Davidson organizing a league for the girls and giving them an opportunity to play different teams. And there's different rules for different sites, but the bottom line is these young ladies and young men are having an opportunity to play the game the entire month of June. And especially for these new coaches who have made transitions into these new jobs, it gives them an opportunity to learn their teams. And the parents come out and support it. There's been no charge at the doors. So that's a plus because I know some of these parents get tired of paying the outrageous AAU tournament fees, admission fees, but you get a chance to go in and catch you four or five games. And normally the teams play three or four games in a day. So that gives them a lot of opportunity. I know I've had the opportunity to referee the last 2 weeks and have seen some great talent and great competition. And that's what you like to do. Coach Lasseter and I talked last week about having multiple sport athletes. You see the football athletes out there on the basketball floor. You see the baseball athletes out there on the basketball floor. And it just enhances the game and helps the coaches to get a better sense of where they're going to be this coming season.
That's good stuff, Corey. And I think one of the things that you have to remember when you're talking about these play dates is this is really the preparation, really the real preparation that coaches get to really evaluate players. And it's a chance that they that players get to move up as far as where they are on the roster. And I love it. I think it's wonderful what they do. And another thing, and you mentioned this, it's a great venture for our officials. It is an amazing venture for our officials because it gives them that training that they so you know, they need that. They need the time on the court and to see the, you know, the different situations that come up during those summer league games. It's great practice for the officials as well.
I agree. I mean, you look at the situation to where this past week at Thompson High School, they had the wrestling clinic for all the wrestling officials. And it's just so beneficial when you're in real-life situations, having an opportunity to hone your craft and to be in situations that you normally wouldn't be. It's great.
All right. Boy, that doesn't take long for a 15-minute segment to go by. That's for sure. You want to listen on, we're going to have We'll have Andrew Zau. Andrew Zau will be with us, I think, at 8:30. He's a new head football coach at Bessemer City. And we'll be talking to several other people. You really want to pay close attention to the people we've got coming on today. We'll be back with more PSR.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
All right, welcome back to PSR and Radio Alabama. You know, Lady Di and I last night. Corey, you should have been here for this. I have to. Corey may not even know who these guys are. So Lady Di and I go last night, and we see the Spinners.
Oh, were they at the Sanger?
Oh, no. They were at the Golden Nugget. And let me tell you something. And you know how I am about Motown.
Right.
So Four Tops, Temptations, OJs, all of them that, you know, they can't touch these guys. I mean, they put on a show. Now, listen, they only go for an hour and 15 minutes, but they never stop. I'm talking about every song the Spinners had ever done. And, buddy, you talking about choreography? And you talking about, you remember how the Temps used to dance? They ain't got nothing on the Spinners. I mean, these guys were awesome, just absolutely awesome. And Lady Di had just had a fabulous time, and it was it was awesome. And we got front row seats.
Ooh.
I don't know how that worked out, but I know when I get my credit card bill, I'll know. But, it was awesome. You get a chance to see the Spinners, you just don't want to miss them. And it's an hour and about 15 minutes, and I'm telling you, it is nonstop. And they're going through every one of their songs. And it is choreographed as well as anything I've ever seen, ever. And they're back up their ensemble, the Spinners ensemble. Shoot, they are just phenomenal. So it's not sports related, but it's entertainment related, and we just had a great time. Corey, you know, I want you to share something that you shared with us off the air. There are so many quality athletes, and we want to congratulate our young Jay Green, quarterback at St. Paul's, got an offer yesterday, I think, or sometime this week from the University of South Alabama. We're so excited for Jay, and congratulations to Jay and for his entire family. And I tell you what, Corey, you know better than I, better watch out for his little sister. She may be one of those players down the road, too.
Right.
There's so many players in Metro, Mobile, and Baldwin County that we're just not hearing a lot on. And, Corey, you follow this better than anybody I know because you are right in the middle of all of this recruiting stuff and just knowing the players. But talk just a little bit about all these players that you kind of get a little frustrated sometimes because we don't hear as much about them and from them as you think we should from these colleges, especially the local colleges.
And what's amazing to me is this past recruiting season, signing day, you had Cumberland's University, okay, in Kentucky. I had never heard of them fielding a football team prior to. And the Cumberland Patriots come in here and sign 9 local student athletes, giving them an opportunity to play football beyond their high school career. And all 9 guys that they that they did sign were very deserving, because I covered them sometime on the MCPSS television network, and you could see the skill set, a little bit undersized for Power 5 schools, but definitely are athletes and great academically. That's the biggest thing. But what you sometimes see is kids get overlooked and get those last minute or moment offers, to where I look around and say, why haven't certain local universities or colleges offered some of our young student athletes? South Alabama here recently has done a great job of offering Jay Green and Colin Lacey and Carlos Johnson Jr. from Spanish Fort, and that's great. Cephas Johnson is another local Davidson High School product that's going to probably be South Alabama's starting quarterback. But there's so many other athletes. When you look around and you ask them, did they get offered by some of these schools that are in a 100-mile radius? And they were not. And they're in their own backyard. And I just, that's one of the things that really disturbs me.
You know, and I'm just looking at Cumberland University now, the University of Cumberland. They are an NAIA school. And they now, I don't know what their restrictions are as far. I think they can sign, just it used to be like what Coach Bryant and Coach Jordan could do at Auburn and Alabama. I think they can sign as many as they want to sign. So, of course, they're limited. You can only have 85 players on scholarship at any given time in NC2A. So, but it is. It's frustrating. And there's a linebacker at UMS Wright that is I'm telling you, pretty doggone good.
He's very good.
That's Will Breland.
But he's just now picking up on his offers or even his visits that are going on. And that's right. You know, that's part of the things. This young man, you look at it, he's a tackling machine. He may not be your prototypical linebacker, but at the end of the day, the kid just makes plays. And it doesn't matter if it's against 2A talent, 4A talent, 6A talent. When you're watching this kid go sideline to sideline and be in on every single play, including special teams, it's special. I mean, that's just a special young man, and his offers will continue to increase as well. But you just want to know, why are kids not being recruited the way they should? And that's a prime example, Rick, that you just gave in Will Breland.
But I like Will Breland. I'm going to tell you why I like Will Breland. It doesn't matter. He'll play anywhere coach tells him to play and do it with his hair on fire. He does everything. Like, I watch him play on film, and you don't have to tell me anything. You can watch him play, and you know all about him.
Yeah.
Every play is like this going to be his last one he's ever going to play. And he plays, you know, he's one of those guys to me. He's one of those guys who's going to go, if he gets in college, he's going to go. He's going to be there the entire time.
Right.
He's going to play his – he's going to make all of his grades.
Yep.
He's never going to be in trouble.
Never.
He's going to be a great ambassador for his school here and his school there. And his family. Those are the things, to me, we overlook too much. I mean, he's a tremendous football
He's some
player.
Kind of player.
Yes, he is.
He really is some kind of player. Wes Latham, Jay Cozio, those guys have done a great job with him. And he's a good player. But there's a lot, and I'm not just singling out Wit. I mean, Will Breland, because he's a UMS guy, and that's where my heart is. But I can tell you this. You two guys have seen him, and you know what kind of player he is. It just doesn't make sense to me. He's a special player, and there's a lot of those around here. And, Corey, that's our job this summer, is just to try to highlight as many of those as we can. And we're going to highlight a young lady today at 9 o'clock. You'll want to hear that. That's a special young lady that plays multiple sports, and Corey's very familiar with her, and most of you around here are familiar with her too. On another subject, and I don't know if y'all touched base on this last week, I want to read to you a text message I got last weekend after our show 2 weeks ago. Last week, a kid threw one – and this is travel baseball, and it's a child in the seventh grade. Last week, a kid threw 119 pitches against this man's son's team and then caught two games in 100-degree heat. These kids need someone to protect them from that kind of I just think it's wrong. He threw 119 pitches. A kid, what, 13 years old, threw 119 pitches, and then went back-to-back catching. So he's throwing the ball back every pitch.
Every pitch.
Yeah. So in over in 100-degree heat.
And it may not show up. An injury to him may not show up now. It may not show up a year from now. But before long, it's going to show up, and it's going to hurt him badly, either in high school or in college, because they've worn down that muscle.
Man.
If it doesn't stop, I mean, just telling you, it's just, you know how I feel about all that.
Well, and you know, it's Father's Day weekend, and so many of these coaches on these teams are fathers who do a great, great job of monitoring and limiting the number of pitches that these kids throw. But guys, this got to stop. I mean, 119 pitches. For a 13-year-old child, that's unheard of. It's just unbelievable.
And you made the correct statement right there, Rick. You know, a lot of times we get caught up, I do especially, because I hear all the bad things that go on in travel baseball and travel softball. But then, you know, there's a lot of good that goes on, too.
By far
and
more.
A lot of really good dads out there that are working their fannies off to improve their entire team, not just their own son.
Right.
That entire team, make them better baseball players.
Well,
so,
I mean, and we're advocates of that.
Yes.
We're advocates of those dads that do such a great job. But there's always going to be that apple, that one apple in the bunch that's going to overdo it, overuse.
That's right.
And a lot of times it's their own son that they do.
Yep.
So, you know, guys, let's keep an eye on that. Let's be more careful and more cautious in utilizing our student athletes' athletic talents. Give them rest. Rest, rest, rest.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama. You know, there's a continuation every summer. We go through jobs. We go through different coaches that we've known through the years that moving around. And as we see jobs open up, of course, we certainly do everything we can to get these guys on the air. And one of the guys that Corey's really reached out to bring on board with us, especially this morning, is Andrew Zau, former quarterback at the University of Alabama, and he coached at Montevallo High School and then at Calera High School. And he's now moved to Bessemer City High School. And this is out on the west side of Birmingham. It's, if I'm not mistaken, it's
old Jess Lanier,
Mark, that you I know. And I'm going to tell you right now, some major battles we had when we were at Northview and Dothan against them. And then at Banks, we played them, of course. But and then at Prattville, we played them a couple of times as well. I'm going to tell you, you're talking about a
Carroll
group,
Cox.
Carroll Cox and that wishbone offense. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, they played with the darkest football they could find.
You couldn't find it.
No, you couldn't. But Andrew Zau is now taking that job and excited for Andrew. Andrew, Rick Cleveland, Mark Laster, and Corey LeBounty. And we're glad to have you on, and congratulations, pal.
Man, thank you guys, man. And I really appreciate the call and the opportunity to speak with you guys this morning.
Coach, again, thank you for taking the time to join us. I know you have a busy schedule and have hit the ground running at Bessemer City. Bessemer City is a school that's had a lot of transition from a head football standpoint, and I know when you were looking at taking the job, tell us what intrigued you the most about Bessemer City.
Man, I tell you, it's just the opportunity and the athletics from a standpoint of how important it is to the city, how important it is to administration. They've done an outstanding job of the facilities, and then on top of that, you have the athletes. And as a head coach, you want to all those things sort of check the boxes of coaching. If you can have leadership at the top, and it's important to, like I say, athletics, or it's important athletics, important to them, and then the facilities on top of that, man, and then of course. Those athletes, they've always had athletes, and some of the former players reaching out to me and seeing what I'd be interested. So I definitely enjoy my time at Calera and even Montevallo. But having this opportunity to go out a little further and step out of the box for myself as well. I've been comfortable in some of the jobs I've had, and this job has its challenges. So I'm up for the challenge.
One of the challenges that you're going to have is working with a seasoned and veteran quarterback, Rashard Dinsmore, a dual-threat senior who accounted for more than 2,700 yards of total offense last season. A very, very athletic quarterback, Andrew. You'll have an opportunity for him to learn your system. What kind of advantage is that, knowing that you have a seasoned dual-threat quarterback ready to run your system?
Oh, man, It goes a long ways to have a guy who's played the game and is going to be a senior with the athletic ability that Shaw has. I think he's done an outstanding job over the past year or two and really made a name for himself. And I think with a guy like that, you can do so much. And having a quarterback that can run, I mean, you ask any of the top teams at the college level, their defense is what they struggle with, and that's a dual-threat quarterback who can also spread you out, and then he's a running back as well. So, with the ability to throw the ball down the field and to throw it to athletes, that's the thing I think people miss too, is that there are other guys around him that do a great job and that are capable of making plays. So, but having Rashard, man, it's going to be a treat, and I look forward to it. I think he's one of the better athletes in the country, and I think he has a great opportunity to advance his education. So, playing the game of football.
We're talking to Andrew Zau, the head football coach, recently appointed head football coach at Bessemer City High School, the old Jess Lanier High School for all of you old-timers like Mark and I. But, Andrew, as you look at this job and as you looked at it from the peripheral, you're going to be the fourth head coach in 4 years.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that. And one of the things that we talk about here is, you got to give a coach a chance to get his system in. And, and we really believe here, and even though tenure is what tenure is,
yeah.
3 years is the minimum we believe you should give a coach. But that's got to be a problem. I mean, fourth coach in 4 years. Have you and the superintendent talked about that?
Yes, most definitely. I think the couple of things we did talk about, that was part of it, is trying to figure how to get the stability back into the program. I think there are some unfortunate things that have happened over the past few years that the decisions have been made for someone else to make a decision about a program. So I think the best thing to do is get in there and do your best and understand that, honestly, as you talk tenure, but as a high school, as a head football coach, tenure really is really not the focus. I think what people have to understand is get into a program, you do it right, and then get the support from the administration. So I've understood that. I've talked to actually Rashard and some of those guys. Hey, look, I know I'm the fourth head coach you guys have had, all the seniors, but my job is to make sure your senior year is the best it can be, and I think we're going to do that. But I've been the fourth head coach at fourth head coach in 5 years at Montevallo. So it was a big turnaround over there. But I'm looking to make sure that we just do it right, man. And I think the thing that the kids want is someone to come in and love them and be a part of their lives. And I only get a chance to be for about 6 months as a football coach, residing those guys. But I'll be their help. Their mentor, whatever I need to be for the rest of their lives if they want.
And in your situation, you get a unique situation. And, Mark, you and I never really had this opportunity. But you are able to hire your own staff if I understand it correctly. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's right. It's different. It's different as for me, for sure, because I hadn't had had the opportunity to do that before. And I'm just getting out and, being able to sign some or bring on some guys that are part of me and that have worked with me before or that I even played with. I mean, Antonio Langham, he stays with me. So everywhere I go, he goes. So
it's that bond, Coach, that you can't break up. And when you look around and the experiences that you had playing quarterback for the University of Alabama from 98 to 2001, you look around a lot of your classmates that you went to school with, like a Terry Jones Jr. that you threw touchdown passes to yourself, and other players are now head coaches. Talk to us about what that means to you. You look back 20 years ago, did you ever visualize yourself becoming a head coach or Terry Jones Jr. becoming a head coach? And all the other guys from that Bama football fraternity moving on into the coaching high school or collegiate football?
Yeah, I you know what? I know I wanted to be a coach one day, but everyone wants to go to the NFL and have a career and go on about your business. But I want, and I did too. But I look at Terry and myself, and I know one year, I know Terry's in Georgia, but I remember one year I was over at Montevallo, and we're all in the had a playoff meeting down in Montgomery, and I actually looked in the room, and man, I tell you, it was about 7, 8, 9 guys that played at the University of Alabama, and there was a couple of few other guys that played at Auburn. I mean, it was guys everywhere that were giving back to kids and having an opportunity to be head football coaches. So it's a treat to see that and see how we've grown as men. And but you know, yeah, man, I'm super excited to see other guys get an opportunity to do what I do.
No question about it, Coach. And I tell you, taking over at Bessemer City, one of the things that when you look in that uniform supply closet this season, you will be wearing Future Ones gear. So we're excited from a Future Ones standpoint to have an opportunity to partner up with Bessemer City. So I know you guys are going to look real sharp. But what are you guys going to do for the rest of the summer coming up here? Any 7-on-7 meetings scheduled or going into what your fall practice schedule will be?
Well, some of the restrictions that we do have is that we can't do 7-on-7 versus anyone else. So we'll work out. We'll have our own sort of skill days that we'll do amongst ourselves. So we do have some restrictions, and we just got to abide by those. But I'm looking forward to just getting in the weight room, getting these guys to sort of build the chemistry and bond that they need to with us as coaches and move forward. I think we will get a chance to see these guys in the next few weeks and see where they are. And as I continue to bring in staff, I think right now it'll be just me and maybe one or two other guys to try to get and Langham. So we got a long way to go.
You know, Andrew, I was thrilled to watch you play at Alabama and watch the kind of not just as the quarterback you were, but the person that you were. And I've watched your career grow a little bit, buddy, and I'm just going to tell you something. Bessemer City could not have got a better person for the job where you are and where that program is right now. Couldn't got a better job. And we here at PSR wish you the very, very best.
Man, I definitely appreciate it, man. I'm just truly blessed and to be a part of a vision that Dr. Stewart and Mr. Soul sort of cast over at Bessemer City. And I think they've done an outstanding job at, despite the circumstances they've been put in. And at the same time, I'm hoping the kids understand where we are right now and how we move forward. And I think if they come in and buy in, I think we'll be okay.
You know, Andrew, there's a pretty good little restaurant over there. Isn't it called the Bright Star? What mm-hmm. is it?
Yeah, the Bright Star. I'm looking forward to get over there. I've been there. I went there
pretty
years
good.
Ago, but I'm looking forward to get back.
If you're not careful, you put on a little weight now.
If we're winning, I don't mind it.
That's right.
Those 5 and 7 step drops, real quick, they'll become 3 step drops.
3 and 5.
That might be a catch and throw.
There you go, pal. You take care, Andrew. We're excited for you.
Yes,
good
sir.
Luck and God
good
bless,
luck, buddy.
Pal.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Right. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Andrew.
Class act. Good
class
job,
guy.
Corey. Good job getting Andrew's eye on here. That's He's a bright star. That's,
yes, sir.
You know,
yeah, he is.
on the coaching.
Up and coming coach.
That's right.
Hey, we got Eric Collier coming up next.
Yeah, that's great.
Another class act.
Yeah, sure is.
He's going to talk with us a little bit about what's going on at Theodore High School.
We'll be right back with Eric Collier on PSR and Radio Alabama.
Segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Look out behind you. JoJo's got his gun.
Okay, we just don't interrupt Boz. Boz Skaggs is a fixture here, has been for a lot of years. 74 years old and still going strong. I bet Eric Collier will still be
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Eric Collier, we used to sit around coaching him. He'd start singing. It sounded just like Buzz Gang.
No, don't.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding.
You
want to
hear Collier sing.
Collier can sing. He's a Buzz Gang.
I think it was Paul Sabatini.
Oh, me. Eric Collier, the head football coach at Theodore, and does a great job. I want to tell you a story, just a real quick story, Eric Collier. Now, Eric Collier, when we were doing South Alabama, Lee Shervanian and myself, I'd go to practice, and I can remember having a conversation standing on the practice field with Eric Collier, and I still remember about 99% of the things that he said. He motivated me that day. He talked about things about their program, and I think he was at Bryant at the time. He was an assistant at Bryant, and everything was positive. It never a word negative. And I walked away from that conversation saying, this guy's going to be a heck of a head coach someday. And, of course, he's one of yours, Mark. Yeah. He's a guy that you work with. And I'm going to tell you, I came back on the air the following Saturday, and I can still remember talking about the future for this guy, and boy, has it come to fruition. That's I'm not right very often right. on these things, but that one right there we were right about. And Eric has done a great job at Theodore, and Mark, I know that you're very close to him, and he's got a player by the name of DeMoy Kennedy now that's getting a lot of ink. He just he committed to Alabama. I want to talk to Eric a little bit about that. Eric, welcome to PSR. We're glad to have you this morning, pal.
Good morning, Coach. I remember the conversation. I sure did. Thank you guys for having me on.
You know, I remember when we coached together, one night we were playing Theodore, and Theodore was loaded. I mean, this is my second year there, and we were at Alma Bryant. He and I were at Alma Bryant, and they threw a seam route right over our safety's head. And I looked down at Kaya. I said, Kaya, what in the world's going on? He said, Coach, I can't cover it for him. I can't get out there and play for him. He's doing the best he can. But you know what? I learned something that night. I did. And I didn't want to tell him. I should have told him after the game. But I learned something that night. All we can do is coach him up the best we can. And all that kid can do is play the best he can. That's all they can do.
Right.
And you can't get – when they're doing the best they can. He just got out-athleted. The kid was better than he was. And they found it, and they made a great play. It's a compliment to their coaching staff. But, Eric, we appreciate you being with us this morning, buddy. And you know how I feel about you and your family. And happy Father's Day to you. I know tomorrow's going to be a big day for y'all at your house. And we just appreciate you. Just tell us a little bit about DeMoy and what he means. I mean, I know the recruitment, and everybody knows going to Alabama and all the things that have gone on, and we've seen all the things in the paper. But tell us what he means to your football team.
Well, you know, Coach, of course he's a great athlete. I've told everybody he's the best athlete ever coached. But more than anything, you know, he's a great young man. And what I mean by that is I don't have to worry about a whole bunch of problems with him. So the only time I ever had to say something to him is, hey, Dumo, look, we got this coming up. Let's make sure everybody's rolling in that direction. And he does a great job of that. He's the guy that we lean on for leadership. And there's some other ones there also. But the good thing about him is he leads by example. But he's also, you know, years ago when I had CJ, CJ was a great leader and he led by example. He was never a very vocal guy. DeMoy's a little more vocal. But if you're talking about as far as what he means to our program, I love to tell those young kids, hey, if you're not sure how to do it, if you're not 100% sure what to do, just watch that one because he does it right.
Without a question, Coach, the way he does things right, working for the MCPSS TV network, covering Theodore, having an opportunity to watch him go sideline to sideline. Alabama, you know, we talked about why he committed to the University of Alabama, but the position that he has an opportunity to do, he can come off the edge as well as play middle. The opportunities are tremendous for him to be and to show his versatility on the next level as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think the biggest thing DeMoy does well is the ability to bend and run in and out of cuts and never lose speed. He is phenomenal at that. But I'll tell you something else, guys. I told Coach Golden and the rest of them up there, DeMoy 2 years ago was playing receiver. So he's still a young linebacker. He's still got a lot of learning to do. But as far as just upside and potential, oh, it's amazing for him because I'm telling you guys, I was to camp last Saturday. And if he wasn't the best athlete on that campus that day, he was one of the top two. He is an amazing young man athletically. And you know, a lot of times you get those great athletes,
but they don't want to work.
Right.
Roy Kennedy works every day of his life at his craft. Every day.
Without question, he does. And you're talking about if he wasn't the best, there might have been one other one. Alabama had another big linebacker sign in Jackson Olin's Quindarius Robinson, so now they get the best two linebackers, according to 247sports.com, in the state of Alabama, so the rich get even richer. But, Coach, you've been busy not only with the Moy Kennedy. As athletic director, you filled some voids or are having to fill some voids with Ham Barnett moving on, and you're looking at hiring a new softball coach as well as baseball coach at Theodore.
Well, you know, you're talking about Ham. You know, Ryan Littles came in. Ryan's been around town. He was at Murphy years ago. He was at Jackson this past year. A couple years ago, he was in Georgia. Ryan's come in. I knew it was the right fit. We were on the board talking ball. And he's a 3-4 guy. And we didn't use the same terms, but we were talking the same language. So I knew then. I said, okay, this is going to work. Because we're blessed. We got quite a few kids coming back defensively.
Right.
You know, all we got to do is go in there and clean up a few things. We're going to change a few things too. But again, he knew exactly what we were trying to do and how we wanted to do things. And he's also bringing some other things to the table that I really like. So, we've had a good 2 weeks with him, and we're looking forward to it. The kids are enjoying it. We're growing. Our program's growing. We've had some changes this past year. But again, the future looks good for us. I'm going to go back to Des Moines. And you mentioned the Robinson kid. From upstate, I'm gonna tell you guys, South and Sears changed their recruiting, and I don't always come on here and brag about college recruiters. That man came into my office, and everything he told me he was gonna do, he did, and he is relentless. And Pete Golden did a great job with Des Moines also. Mm-hmm. Pete sat down with him for about 2.5 hours and explained his whole role, defensively, how they would use him, why they would use him there. And I'll be honest with you, that's what went Des Moines over.
That's right. That's right. Well, Coach, we're about to wrap it up here on this segment, but we want to tell you how much we appreciate you hanging out with us for a little bit and wish you the very best of luck this summer and look forward to chatting with you some more this summer as we get closer and closer to football season and opening up in August.
Well, Mark, you guys, thank y'all for having me on. And look, if I can ever do anything to help you guys, I'm right there. But again, thank you guys for having House of Coaches on and letting us go out and promote our programs.
Take care, Eric.
Take care, buddy.
We appreciate you, buddy. God bless. Have a happy Father's Day, buddy. All right, we'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR in Radio Alabama. And this summer, we're going to do everything we can to highlight as many of our student-athletes across our listening audience and throughout the Southeast. And we want to start off with a young lady by the name of Whitney Novak. Whitney is a rising junior at St. Luke High School, and she's a multi-sport athlete. We want to welcome Whitney to Prep Sports Report. Good morning, Whitney. How are you doing, darling?
I'm good. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
We're great, and thank you for taking some time out. I know you're planning a tournament this weekend, and you got a little break here, but wanted to talk to you a little bit about your year this year. I want to tell you a little bit about Whitney to our listeners. She's a 3-time state tennis champion in both singles and doubles. Her team, St. Luke's, finished second place in team standings this past year by 2 points, only one match away from winning a state championship in basketball. And, Corey, you're well familiar with this. Whitney was named to the All-State basketball team as a sophomore in Class 1A. She led the team in scoring with a 14.5 scoring average and 8 rebounds a game. And her team reached the Alabama High School Athletic Association Final Four this past year in Class 1A. And Corey, again, she plays travel basketball for the Bama Storm, and they play all over. I mean, they travel, and do they travel. She's also a volleyball player. She plays the right side in the middle on the high school varsity volleyball team. St. Luke's volleyball team was ranked in the top 5 in the state all year in Class 3A. Now, as you know, St. Luke's has to play 3A because they've won multiple state titles, and so by virtue of competitive balance, they have to move up and play. And I can tell you this, Whitney is one of the most valuable players on that team, and I'm telling you, she is some kind of student athlete. Now, listen to this. Academically, she carries a 4.1 GPA.
Impressive.
Boy, that is impressive. Whitney, tell our listeners this. You know, most kids like to specialize in one sport. Not Whitney. What makes you want to play three sports in high school?
Well, since I could ever remember, I've always wanted to play sports. Like, not playing sports wasn't really an option, especially with my family background.
Yeah, well, and we need to say this. Her dad, Scott, is a heck of a tennis pro. He runs the tennis program at the – and I can't even think of the name – Copeland Cox Tennis Center. He and his wife, Lorraine, they are Mr. and Miss Tennis here in Mobile, and Whitney is the daughter of those two just amazing people. So I would imagine it would be very tough for you to not play sports. Scott played college tennis at Clemson and just an outstanding tennis player. Just a great family, but I'm sure that sports is one of the main topics at your dinner table.
Yes, sir.
So which one of those sports is your favorite? Now, you look at tennis and basketball and volleyball. Do you have a favorite?
I really don't. I like all three equally. It's whatever sport I'm in at the moment.
Yep.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. You're an athlete, and so whatever sport is in season at that time, that's your favorite one. So that's pretty good right there. So it's and at some point in time, you'll have to make a decision as to what you might want to play in college. But until that time, it's always great to just enjoy the time that you have with your team and your teammates. And but as you look down the line, do you have any idea what may be the sport that you'd like to play in college?
It's really just whichever coach gives me the best offers.
I like that. I like that, Corey.
Without question, Whitney, talk to us about your Final Four experience in basketball and what it meant to take St. Luke's girls basketball program to a place it had never been before with those wonderful teammates that you had of yours.
It was definitely one of my favorite experiences. Going up there and the bus rides over, I think we got closer as a team. And I think this year we're going to go even farther and win.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's impressive. You know, when you look at the success you've had in basketball and volleyball and tennis, talk to us a little bit about leadership and maybe being a leader in these sports.
Well, I've been the tennis captain and basketball captain for the past 2 years, so I've always had to lead. And I do that, like, in many ways. Like, I have to bring extra socks so that everyone, in case someone forgets, and, like, sending out what to wear, like, before each game. It's, like, the little things, but they actually mean a lot more.
Well, and that's what leaders do. They go the extra mile, and obviously you do that in everything that you play. Summer months are a little bit different for student athletes. Doing summer training, kind of give us an example of what a typical day is like for you during the summer.
Well, on every Monday and Wednesday, from 6:45 in the morning to 8:30 at night, I have high school volleyball practice, weight room, high school basketball practice, ACT prep, high school tennis practice, and then club volleyball practice.
Amazing. Just keeping the slate full, a day in the life of. And you're also finding time probably next month to play for Brian Thomas and the Bama Storm team as they travel throughout the country playing these elite AAU tournaments.
Yes, sir.
That's got to be an experience that you will never forget, I can tell you that. And that's that gives you an opportunity to see places that you ordinarily might not see, because when you play on a travel team, you go into some distant places and some out-of-the-way places as well. So that's a great experience for you. Any advice you can give the young girls about playing multiple sports?
Don't halfway do anything. Always give your full effort, because if you don't, there's no point in trying if you're not going to give your best effort.
Well, that's great advice from Whitney Novak. And this is a young lady that plays three sports. She carries a 4.1 academic average. That's an amazing, amazing feat to accomplish. And finally, many kids will talk about being burned out. How can you play three sports and not be burned out?
Well, I'm constantly switching sports, so I don't get tired of just one sport. There's, like, no time to think about being tired because I'll just be switching to the next one. And most people worry about, like, wins and losses. I'm more focused on, like, the process and getting better. So it doesn't, like, discourage me when I lose and make me want to quit. It makes me stronger and makes me want to win more.
Well, Whitney, congratulations on being selected as the Prep Sports Report Spotlight Player of the Week. And you have have absolutely given us a lot of thrills. I can remember as a youngster watching you hit tennis balls at Copeland Cox Tennis Center and just watching Lorraine and Scott as they kind of just watched you and I'm sure had words of advice to you as you moved on in tennis. But I can only imagine the mentoring that you've had from your high school coaches in both volleyball and basketball. And it's really great to watch you and to see you perform and to watch you improve. And we're excited about you and your athletic career, and we're also excited about your academic career because that is the most important, and we know that you know that. But thank you for spending time with us this morning. Say hello to your mom and dad, and we look forward to watching you as you move on in your high school athletic and academic career.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to talk with you, Whitney. We'll be talking to you and watching you as you perform down the road, okay?
All right.
Thanks a bunch. That's Whitney Novak from St. Luke's. She plays three sports, has a 4.1 academic average mark.
How refreshing is it to hear that?
Awesome.
I mean, you know, you just hear a young lady like that talk about all the things that she's doing and her process and what she believes, and you don't hear this, I want to do this for me, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to do that, and I want to be able to do, you know, it's just about getting better, and that's pretty awesome. St. Luke's is fortunate to have that young lady.
They really are. I'm going to tell you right now, she is a special, special young lady, and she does a great job in all of them. And, Corey, you've watched her in basketball, and so you know more about her on the basketball arena, so she's some kind of player.
She definitely is. I mean, the leader of that team, just finishes well around the basket and enjoyed refereeing her games and watching her as a spectator in the AHSAA state finals. And they took a buzzsaw, but that's okay because once you get there, like she said, they're going to be even better and hungrier next year. They took that next step in the program, and they want to win it all. They don't want to bring home a runner-up trophy or having an opportunity just to make it to the Final Four. They want to take care of business, and through her leadership and academic skills, they will do that.
Well, she's a fine young lady, and we're mighty proud of her. I want to talk just a little bit, too. We want to remind folks about football officials. We want to bring up our notes on that and talk about trying to get some more people involved with that as well. When we return to PSR in Radio, Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Back in high school, he could throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool, boy.
Yeah, that's the boss. We were talking a little bit about the balls off the air. You know, one of the neat things that we get a chance to do here is we get to interview people that make a difference in our community. And one of the young ladies who makes a real difference for us that follow the sporting world around here is Bree McNaught at Fox 10 here in Mobile. And Bree, we won't talk about what we talked about off the air, I promise you. But what we will do is we will let Corey kind of get into some of the past and the future and some of the things that you covered as the sports department at Fox 10. And so for Mark Lassiter and myself, we want to welcome you, and I know Corey is excited and always talks about the great job that you do covering all the local sports. But welcome to PSR. We're glad to have you back, and thank you for all you do for not only for high school sports, but sports in general here in the Mobile area.
Well, you guys are making me blush early this morning, but I appreciate the kind words. I love what I do, so I definitely can't complain.
Bree, when you look at this past year, I know every football season it starts off, and I look forward to when I finish my MCPSS television broadcast with Al Whedon on Friday nights to check out your highlight show. You do a wonderful job, you and Hustlin' Hal, of covering all the high school games, going out, putting together those highlights, and piecing together a wonderful 30-minute show. This past season, we know that Vigra made it to the state championship game and UMS comes away with the championship, but what sticks out in your mind from this past 2018-2019 high school sports season?
So, Corey, you're definitely dating me because it's July, so I got to rack my brain a little bit here. Or June. I can't even know what month it is. But, you know, it's great just to see all of these teams just be successful, you know, especially my second year. I got to know the teams and the players more so a little bit better. I got to know the storylines within the teams, obviously, better. Vigra, probably my favorite storyline of the season, not to show any bias, but just to see that group. I don't know if any of you have all been out to their practices, but they don't have what everybody else has. I mean, half the time their field is maybe mowed or sometimes lined, but that doesn't matter to those guys. They still went out there and worked every single day in the rain, you know. They're all working, and they found ways to get it done. And so that was a really, really good story to see. And obviously, Coach Derek Scott over there, nothing but great to work with media-wise. And whenever I want to come over, he's like, yeah, come on over, you know. So great, great story there. And also, it was good to see, you know, Davidson. They came back and bounced back past adversity that, you know, obviously everything that was all over them. That was awesome to see with their quarterback there. He became a good guy to follow Timothy Johnson there. So just to see these players overcome things is probably my favorite part about the job. You know, injuries are overcoming. You saw Spanish Forts, why am I blanking on his name, the running back come back at the end of the season who tore his ACL the very beginning of the year. That was obviously sad, but to see him come back was great to see. You know, just to see those players overcome mentally and physically that stuff is really what always stands out to me. And then UMS, that, I mean, they're – the team is just unstoppable. And to see Terry Curtis, just that smile out there. And, I mean, I took a selfie with, I think, Keyshawn Woodyard and a couple other guys right after the game, quarterback who's also my buddy. And so just to see the pure joy in those guys after accomplishing something is always what sticks out to me at the end of the season.
Yeah, you would be speaking of Skipper Snipes.
Yep, that's, Skipper Snipes, yeah. Yep, sorry.
Great kid.
Skipper's my guy. I know he's a great kid, and I love his mom too. I just lots of players to keep on my mind. So,
yeah. Oh, you do a wonderful job. I mean, you look at the situation that you go out and do. You go, actually sometimes go to a game, shoot your video, and then turn around and get ready for your show on Friday nights. But again, just the high school athletic scene that you cover as a whole. I know you came from Florida, and when you come from Florida, looking at all the talent that is here, not only from a basketball standpoint, from a baseball standpoint, from a football standpoint, I know you did a wonderful job covering Ethan Hearn's story, another phenomenal player here locally who was just drafted by the Chicago Cubs. Those kind of feel-good stories and the history-rich tradition that goes along with the student-athletes from Mobile, Alabama. Tell us, were you surprised when you came and learned all the history and all the athletes that have come out of high schools here locally in Mobile?
You know, Corey, I 100% was, because like you said, I grew up in Florida. I grew up in Jacksonville. I went to Nice High School, Tim Tebow. I mean, even my brother, him and his players, Ted Stachitis, was with him. They went to the state championships for a few years in a row there. My brother ended up playing football at the Air Force Academy. I've been around good sports. I mean, the Bates boys. That was my brother's coach, Bill Bates, for a little bit. So I've been around some good sports my entire life. I mean, I played high school lacrosse, and we had some girls go off and play pretty well, too, or play pretty big. But you're right. I was a little surprised coming here that it was so rich. I knew that, obviously, you're going to have your – and I was in Panama City before this. In Panama City, you had your standouts. There was definitely some some Big Ten players. Actually, J.J. Bleda, who just got drafted fourth overall from Vanderbilt there, I covered him in high school. So I've definitely had my fair share of these shining stars, but I never realized it was going to be this talent-rich. And to see them, like Ethan Hearn, get drafted, that brought me so much joy because it's like I was a part of his journey, or at least a small little part. I was able to – he and his family let me in, and his team, and let me in a small little part of that journey, and to see the success after is probably the greatest joy for me is just to see that. But I did not realize it was going to be this talent rich. And football season this coming year, we have a lot. I think it's going to completely – I keep seeing guys, four stars commit. Oh, commit to Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss, like all these. I was like, holy – like I thought we had a lot last year. They're going to – the Say My Highlight show all season long. So, I mean, it's just never ending. And it doesn't surprise me now that I'm here, but when I first moved here, yes, I was like, whoa, there's a lot of good athletes around here.
You're exactly right. The 2019-2020 class is very special here along the Gulf Coast, not only in Mobile, but Baldwin County. And, Bree, you just do an outstanding and wonderful job of your coverage year-round on Fox 10 Sports. And just want to thank you for taking the time to speak with our local high school athletes, to get to know our high school coaches, players, athletic directors on a one-on-one basis, and the wonderful coverage you provide here locally for us.
Well, I appreciate it, Corey. Once again, I love my job, so I can't complain one bit. I talk about sports for a living. Come on now.
Can't beat it, Bree. Can't beat.
Take care, Bree. We appreciate it. And
thanks, guys.
We look forward to having you on again soon. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You know, one of the things that kind of caught my attention when you were talking to Andrew Zau was Terry Jones Jr. Now, Mark, you should remember that name. Terry Jones played center at Alabama and was a really good player. Had him, I interviewed him at Fairhope and just about had him hired. But his wife didn't want to leave Tuscaloosa. And he stayed on there. And is a strength, as an assistant strength and conditioning coach. If I'm not mistaken, his wife's a doctor.
I don't know.
I think she is. And it was just – she just wasn't ready to leave. Either a doctor or an attorney. One of the –
right.
know, she was the major breadwinner in that family. And but Terry Jones was a heck of a center for Alabama and has been on that staff for a long, long, long time. Working in the strength and conditioning department.
Yeah. Working with those kids. Yeah. And I never know until you – every now and then you see on a Saturday afternoon, you're watching the ball game, and they pan the sideline. There he is. And I didn't know he was still there. And so
he's like the guy that's been there forever that kind of follows Coach
– Cedric.
Cedric. Yeah, Cedric has been there forever.
He has been there
forever.
He really and there has. Was a guy – you know, there was another guy who – Billy – who was with Coach Bryant's security guy.
Okay.
I can't remember his last name, but he was always had
big
on
guy.
His big guy had on his police.
He was a driver.
He was his driver, but he was a policeman.
I didn't know
sort.
Billy was a policeman.
But
a
he kind of took care of Coach Bryant,
right.
Drove him around
everywhere. Everywhere.
You know, you hear those stories of Coach Bryant, you know, driving at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. He stopped and found that kid, you know, that boy sitting on his porch crying at 6 a.m. in the morning. And that story is about the dog, and that's a whole different story. But, yeah, Billy was the driver. So there have been people that have been through there, and they're at other universities, but
and
I remember Billy because he was there when I was there.
And now there's a Fairhope guy who's on staff, literally. He's director of football operations.
Mr. Ellis Ponder.
Ellis Ponder, that's right.
Assistant athletic director.
At Fairhope High School, a pretty doggone good golfer, too.
He's a good golfer.
Yeah.
He was a mess now. He did our videography. I love that boy.
Good boy. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Hey, welcome back to PSR and Radio Alabama, and we're efforting Bart Sessions, and we're going to get that right number here in just a second, and we're trying to get Bart on the line. That will be an interesting conversation. Of course, Bart has coached a lot of places around here. He was a head coach at McGill, did a great job there. He was a defensive coordinator at several places. And
he was at Daphne. He was a defense coordinator at Daphne.
Yeah, Spain Park, too. Spain Park, yeah. That they played for the state championship. Yep. Did a great job there. And then he took the job that we thought was, you know, it's a difficult job. He took the Gadsden City job. And that we always thought that would be one of the great jobs in the state of Alabama, and it just hadn't panned out to be that.
And so, I haven't figured out exactly why. Of course, I don't know a whole lot about that.
I don't. I just know they merged schools.
Right.
Yeah. Emma Sampson and Gadsden.
Litchfield.
Litchfield
came down. And again, they've had a little success in some certain sports, but it hasn't been consistent like you would have thought with the tremendous merging of those schools.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Yeah. All right. I think we've got Bart, and I do want to do this. A couple of weeks ago, June the 1st was the anniversary, the 47th anniversary of Glenn and Nancy Vickery.
I'll be done.
I missed that. We missed that.
We sure did.
And
congratulations, y'all.
And if there's anybody that sings Bart Sessions' praises, there's nobody that sings them as much as Bart Sessions. And I'm going to tell you, Bart is like family to Glenn and Nancy, and thinks the world of them, but I think we've got Bart Sessions on here. And Bart just took the head football job at McAdory High School. Rick Cleveland, Mark Laster, and Corey LeBounty. Bart, good morning and congratulations on your new job, pal.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank y'all so much for having me. And before we go any further, man, happy anniversary to Coach Vic and Miss Nancy. And man, what a patient woman to put up with Coach Vickery for all of this. You know?
Well, listen, Bart, here's the deal on that. Of course, Glenn and I were on staff with Sal for a long time, and I can't tell you how many battles we waged. I really but through it all, can't tell you how much I love the guy. I love him just like you do, and just an amazing man. His anniversary was June the 1st, and I missed it. So it's a great time to have you on because he thinks so much of you and speaks so highly of you. And I would tell you he's your head cheerleader, but I think your wife is probably taking that position now. So I can't – you'd have to take the beauty before the beast. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I tell you, man, I am blessed beyond belief. I have a great support system. Obviously, my wife is very integral to any successes and was to me getting this opportunity at McAdory, and then men like Coach Vickery, you know, when you can sit in an interview and talk about the mentorship of a Glenn Vickery or a Bill Clark and what they've meant to me in my career and the things I've learned from them, that just gives you the opportunities that you're given. And obviously, throughout this entire year, it's been an interesting year to say the least and very trying on our family, but God has definitely been there throughout every step of it and closed some doors, quite frankly, that I didn't understand at the time, but certainly his plan is better than ours, and he's put us in a great place and it's perfect for our family, so we could not be happier.
You're going to do an outstanding job at McAdory, but you jump right into 6A Region 4 along with Hueytown, Hillcrest, Tuscaloosa, Bessemer City, Paul Bryant, Northridge, and Brookwood, and you open up your season against Helena on August the 23rd. I know you hit the ground running, Coach. Have you had an opportunity to learn a little bit about your players, to meet with them one-on-one and to know and get yourself established, get you maybe some coaches in there to try to get this thing turned around?
You know, we've had the opportunity to meet with our team two separate days and have workouts, and obviously still meeting some staff. You know, when I took the job, there was some staff that was still out of town. So we're still in that learning process. And as you mentioned, Corey, I mean, it sounds like you know our schedule pretty good. You know, it's a very challenging schedule, but heck, man, we're excited about it. That's what you want as a competitor. You want to play great people. We'll open with a Helena team that's on the rise. You'll hear them making some noise this year. Coach Busby and his staff doing a great job over there, and it's kind of next door neighbors to us. So that'll be an exciting night. And when we get into region play, I mean, it's tough week in and week out. You know, you mentioned obviously Coach Vic has already reached out to me and said said he hopes I go 9-1, and I'm, you know, he was referring, of course, to Northridge,
that's
where
right.
Mike is at, doing
right.
a great job. And then you look at the Hillcrest and the Huey Towns and Bessemer Cities, and man, it just week after week is a great opponent on our schedule. So we have to be hitting the ground running, or we're not going to stand a chance. So we've tried to get in there as quick as possible, and man, it's been exciting.
And I say turned around. You took over for legendary coach David Powell out there, who did a wonderful job, I think, coming off a 10-2 successful season. And it's just an opportunity, coach, like you say, with a history, a rich history tradition of McAdory High School. Bo Jackson attended McAdory High School, probably the biggest and most famous alumnus of all time, if not in the state of Alabama, one of the best athletes that have ever played any sport as far as baseball and basketball, I mean football is concerned, coach. But one of the things that now you are a McAdory Yellow Jacket, talk to us about the community and what the community support will mean, not only for your football team, but continuing to have the support for the McAdory athletic staff.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, firstly, we're going to see if we can see if there's any eligibility left for Bo and bring him back for a game or two if possible. But you know, Coach Powell, you mentioned, let me talk about him first. You know, he spent 36 years at McAdory High School, his entire career. And, of course, the last 20-something years as head coach. You know, so I'm kind of the guy that's following the Bear. You know, I mean, he's a legend there, and rightfully so. You know, has just accomplished so many things in that community, at that school, been such a fixture there. And I tell you, in this transition, he has been amazing. You know, he's met me at the school multiple days already and just been a great friend throughout this and you know, kind of showing me the ropes and what to expect. And just can't say enough good things about him, which, quite frankly, is one thing that excited us about the opportunity is we know that Coach Powell has done a tremendous job already, and those kids know how to work because they've been working for years prior to us getting there. You know, the community, obviously I'm the new guy, and they're wanting to kind of check me out. So, you know, we're kind of in that honeymoon phase right now. They've been super supportive, and we want to pull the community in even more so. You know, we just want to take the history and tradition of McAdory and grow it. And make that community proud of the product we put on the field and the young men that come out of our program, whether it's proud of them on Friday nights or proud of them, you know, walking the halls of our school or out in the community. And those are kind of the visions we have for McAdory. And so bringing that community in to be a part of that is going to be critical to our success.
You know, Bart, I was just thrilled to death to hear you getting this job at McAdory. My family's come from around that area. We used to live out in Rock Mountain Lakes, which is right down the interstate a little bit, not far from there. My mom and daddy lived there years ago, but I've always thought the world of that program, and having you there, I think it's just going to be a great addition to the history of that program, and look forward to seeing what goes on. But I wanted to ask you, like, what are you guys going to do this summer? What have y'all got going? I know you're trying to hit the ground running. You got a million things to do. Just trying to find out what you guys got planned for the summer, and what are y'all going to do to get ready for and prepare as best you can for this fall.
Yeah, you know, Coach Powell, again, being the professional he is, he had a great schedule already in place, and we're primarily going to stick with it. You know, which means a week from Tuesday, we're playing our first 7-on-7. So, you know, so not a lot of time to get ready for that.
Right.
But, hey, our kids are anxious to compete. Obviously, you know, they want to go out and show us what they can do. And we want them to have that opportunity. So we're going to do our best to follow that schedule as Coach already had scheduled out. We'll play in the Hoover 7-on-7, I know. We'll play in Sanford's 7-on-7, which are two really big tournaments up here, and then there's several, you know, 4 and 5 teams kind of around Birmingham that we'll play in as well, which kind of leads into a sense of urgency for us. What I'm doing right now is filling out our staff. So any of you coaches listening out there that are looking for jobs, I'm the guy to contact.
There you go.
Hey, mad at
guys
you.
That you know, Coach Powell, just as nature of the business, you know, a couple of guys
that had been around for a good while kind of went with him. And so we do have a few teaching spots open, and I need to fill them quickly and get guys in there so we can hit the ground running with these 707s right around the corner.
You know, I'm gonna give you a little heads up on something. And I may not should do this, but you know Coach Sav. And
oh, yeah.
His secretary, Charlotte Davies, is her son's looking for a job, and you're talking about a fine, fine young man. You might want to touch base with Charlotte and just interview that young man.
I'll make that call today. Well, I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, I will make that call today.
He is a fine, fine young man, and he's a young guy, and he would be in your hip pocket. That's
awesome.
Anything to help you, Coach. And I tell you, we got about 10 seconds. Your toughest interview on Friday nights is going to come from your wife now. You know that. That's going to be the toughest interview for you.
There's no doubt about it. My biggest supporter and my biggest critic.
There you go.
There you go.
She knows enough about this sport to intelligently critique what I'm doing.
That's
so
right.
I got to be sure I put my best foot forward, have our best game plan each and every week.
That's right.
Hey, Bart, have a happy Father's Day, pal.
Happy Father's Day, buddy. Good luck to you.
Take care.
Hey, thanks,
Coach.
Happy
Father's Day to you guys as well. Thank y'all.
Talk to you soon. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. I don't think there's any better way to start the Camp Grace session than to chat quickly with our buddy, Scooter. Good morning, Scooter.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Scooter.
They're celebrating in St. Louis, ain't they?
Yes,
they sure are.
Jack Buck would be proud of the St. Louis Blues.
Absolutely.
Sure would.
I used to watch them when I was a kid, Scooter.
Hasn't Cam Wicks been around about 70 years?
Pretty much, yeah. It's been since I was a child. It was, yeah.
Is it more of a Blues town now or more of a Cardinal town?
I think it's a Cardinal town. KMOX will always be Cardinal.
Trivia for you. I think you'll get this. Alabama beat Ole Miss 33-32 in 69. Hunter and Manning. What was the reason that the game started so late?
Was it rain?
No.
Fog.
No, Lawrence Welk said he wouldn't do his program unless they put the game on late.
Wow,
that's good stuff. You stumped us, Scooter. All right, Scooter.
You owe me something.
We do.
We do.
We'll get Randy Bergen. Now, listen, you know Randy Bergen, Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show is on tomorrow. It's a great, great golf show. It comes on from 11 to 1 on Sunday. I want you to call him tomorrow and tell him that he owes you a pizza.
I already did.
And he hadn't responded.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we're going to get on him. Randy Bergen. That's exactly.
Do you remember that Alabama-Mississippi game in 69?
No.
I do.
Okay. Tell us.
Give us that pump, Scoot.
Woo!
Take care,
all right,
buddy.
All right, Scoot.
Even though I'm not a fighter, happy Father's Day to y'all.
Thank you, Scooter. Pal. Appreciate it.
Bachelor's Day.
God bless you,
Thank
pal.
You. I want to read y'all something I read. I had a good friend of mine from high school. Her name's Gola Pitts. She lives out in Texas. Have put something on Facebook, and I'm going to read it for you because a lot of it kind of relates to all of us in this room a little bit, and many of you out there, I'm going to take you back in time a little bit. Was born and raised in Huntsville, Alabama. We grew up in a time when almost everyone treated each other with respect. We didn't eat out much. Just once in a while, Mom and Dad took us out for a treat. Sometimes we'd go get ice cream. We drank homemade Kool-Aid, ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, hot dogs and hamburgers. Most of our meals were like spaghetti, every now and then a pork chop. And if we had a good day fishing in the pond, we'd get some catfish or what have you. Our treat was homemade chocolate ice cream. We also had homemade peach ice cream,
yeah,
which I love. And I remember Daddy cranking it with old crank homemade ice cream machine. Remember before they had the electric ones? When they got the electric ones, we thought we had got, you know, had moved uptown. Anyway, growing up in a time when life was really simple. We went outside to play. We played ball, rode bikes, climbed trees, jump rope, hot scops, hula hoops, jacks, played hide and seek, my favorite game, kick the can,
yep,
and tetherball, and you played outside until mama or daddy called you in for supper. And then you went back out and played the dark. This is in the summertime when you chased lightning bugs around before it got, had to go to bed. The worst thing that ever happened, like maybe a tornado or an earthquake, we didn't have things like mass shootings and schools and things of that nature that we have today. A time when there was no bottled water. We turned a drink out of a hose pipe, usually if we got thirsty. There was no cable TV, just three channels or so with an antenna on the roof, no remote control, no cell phone, no internet, no YouTube. A landline was what we had to dial with a 5-foot cord is all that we knew. We shared it with everybody in the house, and if you had a friend more than 5 miles away, it was long distance, so start writing a letter. We watched cartoons on Saturday morning, but they were taken away if you were on restriction or if you had to do house cleaning duties. If you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home because your parents already knew when you walked in the door. We'd ride our bikes for hours and talk until the lightning bugs came out. You could trust your neighbors. You felt safe. You learn from your parents instead of disrespecting them and treating them as if they knew nothing. Parents took pride in being honest and having a strong work ethic. We were taught to respect guns, authority, elders, and America. We never thought about taking a life or being inhumane to animals. We all ate around the dinner table and talked to each other as a family whenever possible. I want to read that to you because, you know, too many times we forget where we came from, forget who we are, forget where this nation was made, and it was made around that dinner table. That's where it was made, the respect of your family. And in my house, it started with my daddy. My daddy's a Southern Baptist preacher. He's 83 years old, still preaches today at a little place not far from his house where folks are confined to assisted living. And he goes in there and preaches every Sunday morning. I've been fortunate enough to take him there a couple of times in the last few months and meet those folks and talk to them. And they tell me how much they love my daddy. Rick had a guy come on a minute ago and talk about his daddy, Buttercup. It touches our hearts. Because when we get to Father's Day, we are so proud of our fathers. I'm so proud to be a father. I wish I could have been as good a father as my daddy was. Many ways I think I've done the right thing. Some ways I failed. I'm fortunate enough today to know where I came from, who I am, what I did right and what I did wrong. And hopefully I can make a difference today and tomorrow by being a better daddy, by being a better son, by being a better brother, being a better friend. So all you folks out there, I hope, whatever your situation, you take a moment and think about your parents, your father especially, or your grandfather. If your father's not in your life, the closest thing you've got to one. What they mean to you. What they've taught you. And I pray that all you dads out there have the very, 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 very best Father's Day ever.
Well said, Coach, as it is each and every Saturday morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And as we do this show, the Prep Sports Report, so many coaches are looked at as father figures and are that role model. And so many young men and young ladies don't have that father figure out there, and we take great pride as coaches in this room knowing that we have an opportunity to make a difference, not only with our own children, but within the lives of all the children that we teach also.
A couple of weeks ago, we asked you to be in prayer for Judy McMurphy, dear friend of ours, a coach's wife from Sylacauga, coached at B.B. Comer for many years, L.C. McMurphy. His beautiful, gorgeous, godly wife, Judy McMurphy, passed away this past week. We send our condolences here from PSR to David and to Connie and to L.C. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you and happy Father's Day.